Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Top-ranked Ohio State's a 31.5-point favorite, hosting 5-5 Rutgers Saturday at noon. It'll be a big noon kick for senior day at the Shoe, second-to-last game of the season for the Buckeyes. It's before the game next Saturday. Ryan Day told reporters on Wednesday, things are still day-to-day with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. Both are very questionable for Saturday's game against the Scarlet Knights. Hear more from OSU's head coach at noon today on the Ryan Day radio show. In the NFL, Joe Burrow was a full practice participant in Cincinnati yesterday. It's the first time since a turf toe injury sidelined the Bengals quarterback in September. The plan is for Burrow to play next week at Baltimore. It's likely Joe Flacco is this Sunday versus New England. Week 12 in the league begins tonight in Houston. The Texans host the Bills at 8:15. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Well, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
And to live on a Thursday edition of the program, Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Loaded up here on a Thursday edition. We get a health update on Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate from Ryan Day coming up at around 9:30, 10 o'clock, your emails. I will say, we have a bunch of folks who email regularly, and so they don't have to do it through the website. But if you're currently doing it through the website, I've had trouble seeing those. We're working on it. We got top men on it, and we're working on that, and hopefully we're able to get that done here and get that sort of thing fixed. Because we've talked with the top men, and the understanding is there's a bunch of them that are getting in there that I'm not seeing, although there's a bunch that I am seeing in terms of regular emailers who continue to just save the email and send it. So we'll get to those at 10 o'clock with that other part sorted out behind the scenes. Paul Feinbaum going to drop by at 10:30. He's had another interesting week down there. Can you imagine the Kiffin stuff? I mean, my God, it's just a slow one right down the middle on a tee, and he gets to drive it out of the park every single day. 11 o'clock, we will beat the house, and at 11:30, we'll do a little Shelly time because the Jackets are in Toronto against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Buckeye basketball in action tonight as well. They get Western Michigan. But speaking of the Blue Jackets, I don't think it's a stretch to say, as a man who is 40 and now well into my 40s, that there have been few sports media folks who have a bigger influence on this generation of sports fan than Bill Simmons. From his early days at ESPN as the sports guy, is when I first became aware of him. He's the first guy I ever knew who did a mailbag. I mean, kind of what we're doing with the emails is a riff on the mailbag that he did 20-some years ago at ESPN. His BS podcast at ESPN was kind of the first. He's a real trailblazer. He's one of the first ones who's like, it's the podcast. We do the podcast. And it became, and I think it still is, the number one sports podcast in the world. And something that happens a couple of times a week. So he goes from there and he creates Grantland and, then and creates The Ringer, leaves ESPN, creates The Ringer and has a ton of success there too. And they've reached out into pop culture and other things. And it's still one of the preeminent voices for sure in all of sports media. So, in regard to the mailbag, he hadn't done it on his podcast in a long time, but he decided to bring it back. And in the episode that he did on his podcast that dropped, I want to say yesterday, there was an email from a Columbus resident is the setup to this. It's an email from a Columbus resident, and the question was, are the Columbus Blue Jackets the most irrelevant franchise in professional sports? Now, do you guys think, you guys have both listened to this, right? You're familiar with the audio?
Correct.
Do you think it's necessary for us to play it, to talk about it? Because it's a little long. It's a minute 44.
It's even longer than that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we cut some of it
selective
out.
Selective edits were made because of it. It's a Bill Simmons kind of shoot from the hip train of thought take. I don't necessarily think we have to.
What do you think, Bick?
I think the only thing that you get from playing it is to show that he really doesn't know about hockey, right?
No.
I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything he says he's wrong, but Reese and I were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we don't need to play it, but whenever I see people arguing politically, and I stay out of politics anyway, I hate politics.
Yeah.
But when you start arguing about politics and you can't spell or use proper grammar, I immediately throw your argument out. Like, I don't even pay attention to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like that's important. Maybe that's just me being too picky about that stuff. But if you can't like use proper grammar, I don't pay attention to your argument. And in this thing, he makes multiple mistakes. Like he calls Nick Foligno Foligno.
Yeah.
He calls Gilbert Brule Brule.
Yeah.
He says the Jackets have never made it to the second round of the playoffs. And then later he says, oh, the only playoff series win they ever have is over the Florida Panthers, which is wrong. And that's the only time they've been to the second round win before. So I'm not saying his argument's wrong, but when I hear those things, I just tune out.
Yeah, and so I guess my feeling on it is that he's probably right. He is probably right.
He is.
It's on a very short list. The Blue Jackets, unfortunately, are on a very short list of most irrelevant franchises in professional sports. We got to own it. We got to own it. You can get the pronunciation wrong all you want, but one trip to the second round in 25 years, and that's all you've got going for you. That's a pretty compelling case for futility. I think there are others with them. I mean, I think like the Charlotte Hornets, for example, in the NBA is one that's right there with them. I think there are other NHL franchises that are right there with them. I think it's almost a cheat to use an NHL team. To be honest, it is the NHL is a distant third, fourth in this country. And I don't know. It might even be you might have to start get to. And listen, this is the other thing. Well, let me finish making the point. Then I'll circle back around. You can make an argument that WNBA, MLS and other sports are gaining or in some markets surpassing hockey. All of that to be said, it's not a shot at you, Blue Jacket fan. You don't need confirmation bias because you love something. You don't need everybody else to love them. And I would say part of the design of the Columbus Blue Jackets was in part to make sure that they were this city's team. They're not the Ohio Blue Jackets. They're the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're a team for you. And they haven't won enough in 25 years. Full stop. We've had these parade of guys who have come through and they're beloved by us because we live here and we covered them or we've crossed paths with them or they've opened chillers. Like none of this takes away from the impact that they've had here locally. Here locally. But nationally, I think that they might be on a very short list of this being an accurate statement. And I don't think that, I actually think, Bake, I think your point of he doesn't know hockey, I don't think you need to make that comment, because if you're somebody who spends most of your life primarily talking about the NBA, my guess is that you also are aware of Sidney Crosby, and you're probably aware of the success of the Las Vegas Knights, and you're probably aware of the success of the Colorado Avalanche and the Florida Panthers and all of these other teams. Why? Some of them are iconic. Some of them just won a lot. I mean, this isn't hard. Win more, become relevant. Like, that's it.
It's a pretty simple equation.
I mean, the NBA team I used was the Hornets. The Hornets haven't won anything in this reincarnation of the Hornets. They're peddling on Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning 30 years ago. They haven't done anything in 20-plus years. My God, they were the Bobcats at one point. You guys remember that? They were named after the owner. His name was Bob Johnson. He was the founder of BET. And he owned the Charlotte Bobcats. And then they switched it to Hornets when New Orleans went to Pelicans.
I mean, when you think of the Charlotte Hornets, you think of the starter jackets, or at least I do.
Of course.
I mean,
if you're a certain age.
There are teams that you don't think of them necessarily on the field, but you think of influences they've had on pop culture or style, like the Charlotte Hornets starter jacket that like everybody else in a Central Ohio elementary and middle school had.
Yeah.
So it's bad enough that we are talking about this with my favorite team. And then when we are making comparisons, we're taking a shot at my favorite basketball team in my teens with Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning and Muggsy Bogues and Kelly Trepiuka. Like, come on.
Subscribe to the Bill Simmons podcast, right, Baker?
No, I don't subscribe to the Bill Simmons podcast. But it's very, as a Blue Jackets fan, Bo, it's very frustrating.
Do you take it personal, though?
No, I don't take it personal.
Okay, good, because you shouldn't. It's not your fault.
No.
It's not your fault.
No, it is Baker's fault. You know what?
I've talked about this before. I think the problem with the Blue Jackets, and Doug McClain did some great things in his time as a hockey coach and a hockey general manager. I think he did great things for this city. They put way too much on his plate, number one, to begin with. He had to do everything. But number two, Doug McClain was just so damn competitive that if he could squeeze 73 points out of a team, daggone it, he was going to squeeze 74, 75 points out of them. And he never had the patience. He was too damn competitive to let a build happen. And he always wanted to be better, win every game that he could. And you have to in sports. But when you're a franchise like that and the rules were the way they were at the time, you just can't do it. You got to sometimes tank to the bottom, get those number one picks. And then he was also he let his scouts draft, but not at the top of the draft. A lot of times he would overrule those scouts and then things would change. And those picks maybe weren't the greatest in the top, where the Jackets did find some, I don't know if you call them gems, but guys in the third and fourth rounds that became everyday NHLers that you're like, oh, wow, we weren't expecting that out of a fourth round pick. But you didn't get the production out of your top picks.
No, and I think, I mean, there's a million things to be bitter about as a Blue Jacket fan, most especially what's happened with Vegas and Seattle and how they were given really head starts that the previous round of franchise expandees were not. I mean, for all of the way that that hockey is beloved in Minnesota, what do they have to hold on to as the Wild? I mean, and yet you had this incredible success with Vegas already winning a cup, Seattle being a competitive team right out of the gate. So there's bitterness there. And the onus is now on them to build it the right way. But I get it. I get it. And again, I don't know. It's not a shot at anybody. I don't think in town. I don't think it's a shot at fans. I don't think it's a shot at anything. One of the things Bake noticed is something that they referenced in the question, which was never bad enough to pick number one overall. Right? That's part of it. All of those things factor in because that's how you get stars.
And they got Nash. They traded for the number one pick.
Right. Right.
They had the three.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It was, it's an interesting one. There's a lot of ways you can go with it. Lots to get to on the program today, including that health update from Ohio State, as they build towards that massive game against Rutgers at noon on Senior Day. Going to be some motion for that one for sure. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends, we're here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sunday Night Football on The Fan. Catch the Bucks and Rams live from L.A. Fan coverage starts Sunday at 7:30.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
At the Ohio...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies for us throughout the day today with temperatures topping out in the low 50s. And then for tonight, could see a stray shower or two. Otherwise, skies will turn mostly cloudy with our lows down into the 40s. For Friday, we start off dry, but the second half of the day, rain will develop. And we'll expect cloudy skies if it's not raining, with daytime highs getting into the mid-50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Monday starts up a pretty big week. Gobble, gobble, and all that crap. Let's focus on what really matters. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
If you could have one sliding doors Blue Jackets decision result on the ice or off back, one thing flips. What is it? You have one thing flip.
What do you mean? Like a game, a series, a player?
No. None of that changes much of anything, because this has never, unfortunately, been a team that was built to have sustained success. Because I think your point that you made on Doug McClain was the right one. Porty and I used to talk about this all the time. And the thing that we kept coming back to is they've never torn it down to the studs all the way. It takes guts to do that, mm-hmm. to tear it down to the studs and all the way. And then you got to get lucky. You got to hit on picks. And they've had the worst lottery luck you could ever have. I mean, Reese, you and I were talking, we were doing the show with the whole, and we love, you love everything that, the way that it worked out. But in the Bedard one, like, you win the last game.
I mean, yeah, there are a handful of Yarmo things with that final game against the Pens, putting a... Because I can't remember who the head coach was at that point. But he's going to win with a roster you put in front of him. So I was always like, just from the GM, make a bunch of guys healthy scratches so you don't beat the Penguins and put yourself back in that best spot. But that happened. Just real quick, I was looking the series against Boston when the Jackets lead 2-1. Game would have been 5 or 6 of that series. I think they lose 4-3. Give me that back.
That was the one that Threes and I, when they came back from Boston, came on and said they can win the cup. And I was dead serious.
That team?
They had the goalie. Yeah, they had the goalie. They had the size. It was Josh Anderson and PLD, and they had Panarin, and they had all of it. And it was, now they were a flipping 8 seed. Like they
beat the Lightning.
But they weren't like it wasn't like, oh yeah, we're on to something. I mean, they were the 8 seed and they had a historic upset. But the way that they were playing and the way Bob had played against Tampa, you said, go win the cup is kind of what that thing felt like.
So two things come to my mind, and one of them Bill Simmons talked about. I think of the 03 draft when the Blue Jackets drafted Nikolai Zhirdev. And Zhirdev wasn't a terrible player. He had a few good years here with the Jackets, but that draft was loaded. It had like Ryan Getzlaff and Dion Phaneuf and a bunch of guys in that. That's a draft that always comes to mind, even though, like I said, Zhirdev was okay. But that... I think it was 05, it was 05 or 06 draft where the Montreal Canadiens took Carey Price with the 5th pick, and everybody was convinced, and the Blue Jackets were convinced, if you listen to people who were in the know, that Montreal was taking Gilbert Brulé.
Yeah.
And that was the way the Jackets had the draft board going, and... from what everyone says, the Jackets were going to take Anze Kopitar with the 6th pick. And when Montreal took Carey Price, that left Gilbert Brulé on the board. And at the time, some people were comparing this dude to like Sidney Crosby. Even though he wasn't as big, but he was feisty. He could score. He could skate. And when they did not take him, Doug McClain said, that's our pick. And, of course, Kopitar ends up going 11th, I believe, to the Los Angeles Kings and has had the career he has. And I believe this is his final year. I believe they're doing his retirement year right now. And
yeah,
he's been one of the best players in L.A. Kings history, right there behind Gretzky.
Yeah, you can play a lot of games with it. You can do the Kopitar thing that you just did. You can do there's some drafts where, like, there was, like, a two-player draft and they picked third.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to happen over and over and over again. And certainly, like, even recently, like, I love what Adam Fantilli is becoming. But have you looked at the current NHL statistical leaders? And have you looked at who's in the top five in the league? Bedard, Carlson. And then Macklin Celebrini, he's sitting there, he's third. That's three and tied for fourth. It goes Celebrini, Bedard, Carlson in NHL scoring behind MacKinnon and McDavid. So that's the type of stuff that it felt like it just happened over and over and over. I think you've got to go way back, and I wasn't here for this part of it. I didn't get here until 07, but I think that even and now I think they've got it locked down. I think here locally, I think they have I think even all they have to do is win, and then I think the brand and stuff, everybody sees how cool it is. I think they kind of blew it initially with the brand. And I've said this before. Like, if you weren't here and you saw, I was in Florida at the time when they unveiled that franchise. I really believe that you folks in Ohio had a bug, a form of Hornet that was blue. That's what I thought it was about. And they had a bug on the jersey. I thought that. I really believe that. And I've read the books, and I've heard people talk about it, and, you know, Columbus Chill and other stuff, because there was a history to it and there were those type of things. But if you just think from that standpoint too, any time that you're developing a brand, when you have to explain what it is, that's probably a little bit of a red flag. Now, you've been here 25 years and you've got all this stuff now, and they've got the cannon. And so now they leaned into it, but that wasn't what it was initially. I think they probably failed initially with that part of the branding. You can point to a million things. I think that the overwhelming thing, though, is whoever was in leadership with the Jackets through the first 25 years, whoever that leadership was, it was a little bit of an Adam and Eve with the apple situation. And the apple was making the playoffs. The apple far too often was not go win the cup or build a team to win the cup. And if the apple is go chase the playoffs, then you do these short-sighted things over and over and over again to try to get a taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you miss out on the bigger reward. You miss out. It takes courage to be able to do it. The team that they have right now is as exciting a team as they've had in 25 years in terms of what the future can be. They still have some pieces that need to be filled out there, but they are young. They are exciting. They're all of those things. So they need those young guys to keep coming. And they need to win. And they need to go not one round, not two. I mean, they need to play in a conference final. They need to do those things. That's how you get off of lists like this, is doing that. That's how Oklahoma City did. There's no more irrelevant operation in basketball than taking a team from Seattle and putting them in Oklahoma City. All the history of the Sonics, all of that. But they had a cheat code. They had Kevin Durant. And they had Russell Westbrook out of the gates. So that allows for it. And now look at them. Now, I mean, they might win 75 games this year. By the way, they have the Clippers pick and a loaded lottery. But they've been winning for 15 years. It's the winning is the number one thing. And I think just far too often with management, there was this tantalizing thing of chasing the postseason. And sometimes that's a can't see the forest through the trees situation. So hopefully they get it right this time. It felt like if they could have kept that team together that beat Tampa for the next 5 years, that was the type of team that could have had staying power. It's the winning. That's it. And they have the best people there. Best people in PR, the best people in fan engagement, the best people in the community, the best people, the best. They just need to win. Everything else is in place. Just go win. And then all this stuff changes. That's all you got to do. The Buckeyes win plenty. They're going to win on Saturday. Who's going to participate? You'll hear from Ryan Day in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. Buckeyes set to have senior day on Saturday against Rutgers. Is Carnell Tate, are Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith going to play? Hey, Ryan, what do you say?
Ryan, how have Carnell and Jeremiah made it through the week so far?
Yeah, they're working hard to get back on the field, and that's it. I mean, that's what they're focused on, and I don't really have much more of an update other than that.
Good for Doug. He tried. Doug tried. Look, I do think we talked about this last week with the Amalieva stuff. I do think we're at a point now in where we have to be past the point in college football where we have real injury reports and real practice reports. Most states, how many states in this country don't have sports gambling at this point? I mean, are there college venues that have betting parlors in the venue? My guess is there are. I would think that they have books in some venues around the country. The idea that you can have this type of ambiguity, the ambiguity we had last week with Amalieva and the ambiguity we have this week with Carnell and Jeremiah. Now, I've said I wouldn't play either of them because I don't think you need them. Now, if Jeremiah Smith wants to win the Heisman, do you have him run a go and then throw it down there so he can catch one one-handed and have a moment?
Almost.
I don't even know what the injury with him is.
Right. I would hesitate. I think Austin earlier in the week had mentioned something about his back.
Yeah, I heard that.
And so if that's the case, and you're not trying to make him go up and get any one-handed circus catches, I'd answer your question. At 11 states right now that have not legalized sports gambling. So those states like Alabama, majority. California are still using those alleyway bookies.
Florida drives me nuts every time.
I just don't think, and this is going to sound... Oh, this is going to sound stinky because you want to see Jeremiah, you want to see Carnell, but if they're at this point in the week and Ryan Dale have his radio show at noon, well, you probably won't get an update there either. So tune in for that. You just put them on ice and maybe wrap them up in a bubble and take them to Ann Arbor.
Yeah. The folks I've talked to who I trust on this say that the Ann Arbor part of it, they'll be fine. So I'll take those folks at their word. And that's really the one that matters. It's not this one. And I think that's kind of the challenge of this week. I think it's been the challenge for this month for Ryan Day, is how do you keep this thing sharp while playing the opponents that you're playing? I mean, you're basically taking a butcher knife to warm butter every week. So what is the, how do you make sure that the intensity is there, the focus is there, all of it? Next week's easy. That's the easiest sell job in the history of the world. And you heard from some of the players talking about that over this week about how we haven't, no gold pants, haven't won a Big Ten championship. We won a natty, but we haven't done these other things that are really important to us. The other thing that I think will help for Saturday is the fact that it is senior day and play your last time coming out in that stadium. It's an emotional thing. It's one of the coolest things that happens at that stadium. It's unbelievable for the Michigan game. If you've been at those games on the senior days, it's a Michigan game. It's chills. I mean, it's just so effective the way that they do it. And you see those guys when they're waiting there for their folks and Ryan's out there meeting them. Previous to him, it was Urban, and previous to him, it was Tress. And they meet the player and they hug him. I'll never forget Johnny Simon limping out there with tears streaming down his face and a knee the size of a grapefruit, more likely a beach ball, and just giving it everything he could to play and couldn't. I mean, that's what it'll be about. It's Rutgers, but that emotion will still be there. Ryan addressed those seniors playing their last game in the Shoe earlier this week.
For our seniors, you know, these games go fast, and we talk every year about how quickly these games go. And here we are, last game in the Shoe, you know, in the regular season. And, you know, it's important for, you know, everyone to play with urgency, but I say all the time, don't wait till the last game to start feeling all the emotion of that. Like, that's a build-up all year long, and being in the moment and appreciating that. But, you know, for the guys who you know, are playing their last game in the Shoe, it's a big deal. And, you know, we need to celebrate those guys by everybody in the and the Woody given everything we have and playing for them. And I know they're going to put, you know, everything they have into this game because, you know, there's a lot of great memories on that field. A lot of great memories, you know, in the Woody and, you know, spending time on the practice field and all of those things. And when you get a chance to reflect, it just makes you realize how important finishing this season is the right way.
Yeah, it is. And one of the cool byproducts of this is going to be the Stiles family. I mean, this is pretty remarkable. Lorenzo had that incredible kick return last week. Sonny's been a stud for a long time. But the fact that to get to play at your dad's alma mater together and then to be able to walk together on senior day, here's Lorenzo on that.
It means a lot. I would never have thought me and my brother would be walking on the same senior day. But seeing him walk and then just me coming together, like, I don't know, it's just a blessing. Everything's coming together how it's supposed to be.
I mean, that's an all-timer, right? I mean, I can't imagine it's ever happened before. Have we ever had a set of senior twins?
Legacy brothers.
They're not twins, though.
No, I know that, but that would be the circumstance, because in the old days, you weren't getting multiple years of eligibility. So I don't know if that's happy. You need Jack Park on that to see if there's any twins who have ever... In like 37 twins who walked on senior day together, none that I can recall ever, and certainly not the legacy part of it too, Reese.
Yeah, the journey part for Lorenzo is awesome. And the fact that, like you said, you know, one of the final games of his career in the regular season, he gets to return a kickoff, a 15-year drought for the Buckeyes, he gets to end. And then those two Stiles boys watching, you know, you idolize your father, right? And when your father plays at Ohio State in this state, when you're living in Pickerington or you're living in steps or a stone's throw from the horseshoe, like there's nothing bigger. There's nothing you think about more as a kid in Central Ohio playing football than maybe someday I could do it at Ohio State. Maybe someday I could be good enough to do that. And they've not only done that at the highest level, both Stiles boys, but they get to go out there and embrace their dad in front of 105,000 people who will be just as eager to show them the love as the person sitting next to them.
I don't know why, but when we came in here on Wednesday morning and started looking at sound and Ryan had his press conference and he's talking about senior day, it hit me like, wow, this is really almost over. Like, this football season has flown by and it just hit me like, oh my gosh, we're here. And some of these guys like Sonny Stiles, and I think of Davison Igbinosin, who has really kind of transformed an attitude on defense in his 3 years here. And then I started thinking about some of the juniors too, and what a bummer that we don't get to see Carnell Tate probably one more time in the shoe. This is the last time in the shoe we get to see Arvell Reese and his, like, almost Malik Hooker, like, comet rise. And people were talking about him being the number one pick in the draft now. And it's just the last time we're going to see Caleb Downs. Like, that made me – that put more importance on this Rutgers game to me, thinking, man, this is the last time we're going to see these guys in the shoe.
And I think that goes to the point of when you look at a 31.5-point spread, you look at a 5-5 Rutgers team, and you go, what the hell is this going to be about? What Baker just said is what this is going to be about Saturday. And so I think for Ohio State fans, either in attendance or watching or listening to the game on the fan, just that warm embrace of what these guys have meant for this program is going to be so much better than just a game itself.
It's an incredible inflection point of where we are in college football, though, right? Because as Bake is talking and he's saying, this is the last time we'll see any of these guys in the shoe. If you win out, it is.
Yeah, but we don't talk about that.
No, I'm not even talking about Michigan. I'm just saying, like,
I get it.
We had a senior day last year. And then we had a Tennessee game. This is how crazy all of this has gotten in our sport, that as we're saying, and Bake, as you're saying it, you said, look, it's almost over. Dude, if this thing goes according to plan, we still got 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the thing for Ryan that's so tricky is, you try to pay homage to these incredible traditions and the importance of all of this stuff. And you mentioned Carnell Tate. Like, I would think he would want to suit up on senior day, even if he has a hard pitch count. Like, I think he'd want a ball thrown his way on his last time at the shoe. I mean, he opted back in. Would you want to play? I think he'd want to play in that game, would be my hunch. But at the same time, you think if you're Ryan and Brian and you're looking at this, you're going, all right, yeah, we got Michigan, then we got Indiana, then we got a date in the Rose Bowl against the 8-9, which is probably going to be a Notre Dame whatever situation. Like, there's so much football ahead of them that you're trying to almost serve this traditional master of college football of these things that we've known through time in memoriam, which are so critical. But also in a modern college football, you've got a ton of games left.
I thought it was interesting on Buckeye Roundtable Monday night. Coach Cooper was talking about senior tackle and how he hated it when the Michigan game was at home because there was so much stuff going on that throwing senior tackle into that as well, it was just too much stuff in one week in that Michigan week. I wonder if that's how Ryan and these guys feel now. Like, we've still got 2 months of football. What are we doing senior tackle this week for?
Absolutely. It is absolutely a microcosm of what is happening in the sport. It's happening right here in this way. We had a new NFL mock draft out. We'll tell you which four Buckeyes are going in the first round. In addition to that, a lot of hardware up for grabs for Ohio State football players this, I guess it's December. They'll award most of this stuff in the middle of the playoff, which that's pretty silly as well. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Nice.
Stepdad used to pull me on my skateboard on the back of his motorcycle.
Are you going double knee pads?
No pads.
Are you kidding?
Were you wearing a helmet?
No.
What?
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Our top men are working on everything. Except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
It is so... This is a whole... We could do forever on this, but this is just another example. It's all kind of coming to a head because you have Michigan week next week, and then you're going to have the Big Ten championship game, and then you're going to have Army-Navy, and you're going to award the Heisman, and then you're going to have award week after that. And all of that, if things go according to plan, all of that stuff that I just mentioned is going to take place before Ohio State plays in a quarterfinal and before they play, if all goes according to plan, three more games. In some instances, four games. I mean, last year for us, it was four games were played after all of this stuff was awarded. And I do think it probably still ought to be, especially with the Heisman. Reese, I'm curious where you are on this as a fellow Heisman voter. I think the Heisman needs to probably stay where it is. Otherwise, it's going to be an award given to the best player on the best team.
Yes. I wonder, I mean, a lot of times it's that now.
It's a good point.
But
perceived best team, yeah.
It's tricky. I wouldn't be opposed to keeping it where it is. I also wouldn't be opposed if they moved it to after the college football playoff. I also wouldn't be opposed if they said regular season Heisman and then did a postseason / conference championship game / playoff Heisman. Or not, you can't call it a Heisman, but maybe sell it to somebody.
Something else,
you like money, don't you, college football? Have it sponsorable. So yes, to answer your question.
I think, Reese, your point there is good. I think leave it where it is so it encompasses the regular season and the conference championship games. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have a college football playoff MVP type player, the best player, you know, some kind of award for that. I will say, though, the Heisman Trophy, the favorites, you've got Fernando Mendoza, you've got Ty Simpson, you've got Julian Sain. All those guys are going to be, well, we think all those guys, I guess Ty Simpson, maybe not, but we think those guys are going to be in the college football playoff.
No, you have to do something so extraordinary like what Travis Hunter did last year, to win it on a team that isn't a championship contender. I mean, who's the last one previous to Hunter who won it without being on a team that was going to be in the mix to win the national title?
Was it Lamar?
Good call. Probably Lamar was probably the last one where...
And he hung like 63 on Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the last... That's a good call out of you. That's probably the last one.
Was Jaden Daniels, was that LSU team in the mix?
Oh, that's true.
They were like 9-3.
The Jaden Daniels was the most recent.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams and USC, were they really in the mix?
Well, that was before a 12-team playoff. So it was. I think both of those teams, my hunch is both those teams would have been in a 12-team playoff. They wouldn't have been in a four-teamer.
Because I think USC lost to, was it Utah in the then Pac-12 title game, and then it got Ohio State into the playoff?
Yeah, that could be.
Because Utah just beat the hell out of USC that game.
Yeah, they bully balled them. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably right. I think it, you know, if you think about, I mean, you think of in the NHL, like the Conn Smythe, like that would be a really cool thing if college football could come up with that instead of awarding like a player of the game for the championship game, awarding like most outstanding player of the college football playoff. That might be a cool thing to do.
I mean, wouldn't it be the Tyvis Powell College Football Playoff MVP award? He was the MVP of a national championship game.
He had a point. I was on his side today. They were talking about DoorDashing Benihana. I've done that. I've absolutely done that. And Brother Bone was like, well, aren't you there for all the, isn't that part of it? I do that. This is God's honest truth. If it's just our family at a table at the one of those hibachi joints, I go to the guy, is what I say. We've seen the show a bunch. We don't need it. If you're cool, you can just get right to the cooking. Like I don't need the pomp and circumstance.
But it's only if you guys are at the table, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't go to, yeah. No. Like if I'm at the table and it's like, just like people I know at the table, like if we have like a big group and we're there, like I go to the guy and I'm like, and then I tip him. I make sure it's worth their while to go off a routine. That's my move on it.
I would love to have the money our morning show puts into DoorDash fees and tips
every morning.
I'd be putting that into a little index fund or something. I think we'd be doing pretty well.
Maybe DoorDash once a year.
So that's, I think I'll defend Tyvis on this as well. And I don't know why I'm defending him. Usually I like to tear him down. But I think he also has a good point here. Neither of you, as far as you know, have children.
That's accurate.
As far as you know.
That's an accurate statement.
Yeah. When you have the children and they become involved in the activities, there's no time. There's no time. The reason that I end up Uber Eats probably twice a week, and I think that what's really cool about it now is like you can get a Benihana type place, or you can get like good Italian. You can get like, it's not all fast food. Like you need good, healthy food that way. So a lot of times what I'll do is, I will click in an order at practice so that it's there when I get home. Or at a game, like at halftime, I'll be doing an Uber Eats order and then it's there when I get home.
So I will do similar, but I will order food. Like if I'm here at the station doing something and I'm going to be heading home, I'll order food, something on the way that I can pick up. So it's on my route home. And I can grab it on the way. I have never in my life DoorDashed or Uber Eats anything.
Oh, it's a hell of a convenience.
I'll just run.
I mean,
and grab
I think it is. I think it is to. I think it is to food like what Amazon is to delivery. How Amazon changed free delivery for everybody. Now everybody's free delivery because you can't not be free delivery because they are. I think it has that type of impact.
I already pay like $13 for Taco Bell. I don't need to be paying $20 for it. Come on now.
That's when it hits you. Now my oldest thinks he can DoorDash things. So at one point, did he DoorDash a Frosty? Yeah.
And just one Frosty.
A Frosty.
Wow.
As opposed to many Frosties or even with fries.
How far is Wendy's from you? Like the closest Wendy's?
Less than a mile.
Okay.
Mile and a half. 2 miles. Well, probably more like 3 miles.
Still soupy.
Think how much?
Dude, I was obviously the DoorDash got taken. I didn't even know he had it, but the DoorDash went away at that point. Like we're not doing that. Like that was, what are we doing? Do you see all these fees, dummy? That's how this is all working.
Think how much of that they can do when the Carolina Panthers pay off for him.
Oh God. I need a loss this week in the worst way. They're on Monday Night Football. They need a loss in the worst way. I should deliver on the tease. Buckeyes up for postseason awards. It is long and distinguished. Caden Curry's up for the Lombardi. Caleb Downs is up for the Bednarik, the Lott, the Thorpe, the Walter Camp. Sonny's up for the Butkus and the Lombardi. Arvell's up for the Bednarik, Butkus, and Lombardi. Julian's up for the Maxwell, the Davey O'Brien, the Sean Alexander, Walter Camp. Jeremiah's up for the Biletnikoff, the Maxwell, the Walter Camp. Carnell Tate's up for the Biletnikoff. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of hardware in the Woody Hayes by the time this season is all over. All right, coming up next, we'll open up that mailbag. Second hour of the program, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Starting Monday, it's rivalry week. We call it that because the Buckeyes play a very annoying team from Michigan. Clever.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan.
Welcome.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Week 12 in the NFL begins tonight in Houston. The Texans host the Bills at 8:15. C.J. Stroud remains in the concussion protocol. Davis Mills will quarterback Houston for the third straight game. Joe Flacco will likely quarterback the Bengals Sunday versus the Patriots. Joe Burrow was a full participant yesterday at practice. It's the first time since September. Burrow will likely stay on track for a Thanksgiving return in Baltimore against the Ravens. Jamar Chase will be back from suspension, too. In college football, number one Ohio State hosts Rutgers Saturday at noon. Hear from Ohio State's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio Show. In college hoops, Ohio State looks to improve to 5-0, hosting Western Michigan tonight at 8. We'll have pregame coverage at 7. Same time in Toronto, the Blue Jackets skate against the Maple Leafs. Jet Greaves expected to get the nod in net. This update sponsored by Whiskey War by High Bank Distillery. Drink local. Drink High Bank.
The best hair on the air.
You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to open up that mailbag on a Thursday edition.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up the life.
Oh, that pleases me a great deal to hear Nationwide Children's on that. Spent some time there with two of the boys when they were older, and the best folks, the best people. That's awesome. Very, very cool. I mentioned this off the top of the show, just to reiterate it now. The way that for the last couple of weeks, we've had some email issues here. And so if you're going through the website, for whatever reason, I'm not seeing them. Now, they're seeing them on the back end, and we're trying to get that fixed. Now, a great many of you, still email me directly because you have before. And so those ones I get and I see, and we've got a bunch of them today. But in terms of, I found out that a lot of times if we're going right now as we're going through the website, we're not seeing them. So we're efforting to get that fixed with our top men, and we should have it fixed. Let's start with Connor. The subject is Ohio State hypothetical. He writes, what would you set the line to be if Ohio State played a combined Cleveland Browns offense and Cincinnati Bengals defense NFL team? Money is still on the combined NFL team, but that feels like it wouldn't be that high of a number. In the 20s, maybe? Thanks. Love the show. And this is definitely the one sports radio show podcast my girlfriend doesn't seem to mind while we're in the car together. Well, we aim to please. We want to be equal. This is a great one. This is a great one.
He should have made this a hey, guys, and won a prize.
He would have won a prize. Yeah, there's no question, Connor. You would have won a prize. Jeez, I don't know. Is it like 14 and a half? 17.5?
So I still think it's in the 20s. Yeah, I'm thinking 21.5, 24.5, somewhere in there.
All right, so Brown's offense. I mean, let's just do the matchup. So you're not going to, you probably wouldn't get a lot of pressure on Shedeur Sanders. I mean, their offensive line is grown men, especially in the middle of it. Now, both tackles are hurt. Were hurt last week, so you could get a little bit of hay there. You're still going to have to deal with Quinshon Judkins, but Sonny and Arvell should be ready for that.
Matt Patricia's coordinating?
Yes.
Oh.
Of course, it's Ohio State.
I mean, Dylan Gabriel, let's say you say Shedeur, maybe it's Dylan. Dylan had some success against Ohio State, and then not so much the second time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, did he have more weapons at Oregon on the outside? I mean, the tight ends are elite. You got Chief and Fan, and like Chief would be a real problem.
Gosh, Ohio State would have the better receivers.
We'll get to that. So, you know, Sonny. I mean, Jerry Judy's a stud. He ripped up college football. So, like, he's a stud. Like, that would be a problem. I think the size would still be a problem there, though. I just think the physical pounding that you would take. I mean, it's just, there's a difference between a 21-year-old and a 28-year-old. Like, you just, a different type of strength. And then the other side of it, so right now, like, the Bengals don't have Hendrickson. I mean, they have, like, Shamar Stewart and those guys, but Shamar Stewart didn't get sacks at Texas A&M. I don't know why he'd all of a sudden get sacks against Ohio State.
Shamar's on injured reserve, too.
No, that's right. They could not handle, I mean, Jeremiah Smith would be the best weapon in the whole game.
They couldn't cover Carnell Tate.
No, I don't think so. So then it would just be, like, Julian throwing to much tighter windows than he has to throw to now. I think the lack of a run game would be a problem. I mean, I think Cincinnati would really invite the run. I think that could be a little bit of a problem. Yeah, maybe 21.5. 20.5, something like that. I think the biggest differentiator would just be the lines of scrimmage still. Just grown men. It's just different being a 30-year-old than a 21-year-old. Or a 28-year-old to a 21-year-old. But if you were redrafting those teams, the Browns offense and the Bengals defense and Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith still goes number one. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah.
Like, he was ready last year.
Yeah, he's still the number
one Sundays,
talent in the whole thing. So, yeah, it's a good one. All right, this one from Tyler. He writes, yesterday you mentioned in Higher Lower that Alabama should be ahead of Notre Dame. Once and for all, what is the most important, what is more important, quality wins or quality losses? This is why we love the sport, Tyler. This is exactly why we love the sport. Because who the hell knows? Because you have to mix quality wins and quality losses and eye test and schedule, and not everybody plays equal, and that's what leads to this mess of a conversation that we have every time we look at these rankings. I believe that Notre Dame should be ranked behind Alabama. I think Alabama has played a more ambitious schedule. Notre Dame has the better losses in losing close games to Texas A&M and Miami, but Notre Dame doesn't have a quality win in the vicinity of some of the wins that Alabama has. Alabama beat Georgia in Athens. That might be the best win in all of college football this year. That's right up there with Indiana winning at Oregon. I mean, that's as good as it gets in college football. They went to Athens and beat Georgia. That's a massive win for them. So to me, I would have Alabama ahead. But I also understand from the committee standpoint, they can't put Alabama ahead of Oklahoma because Oklahoma just went to Tuscaloosa and won. So that's why I said yesterday, like, to me, Notre Dame should be behind both Oklahoma and Alabama as it stands right now.
And the path for those three teams is so wildly different, too, because Notre Dame's just got to win out, and they've just got to be 10-2. And the committee will put them somewhere in the playoff. And yes. I think for this Notre Dame team, even for last year's, it almost didn't matter where they were positioned because they were so talented.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this Notre Dame, I'm not sure if they're as talented as last year's squad. And I think a lot of that has to do with C.J. Carr. Man, they use Riley.
He might be better than Riley Leonard.
They use Riley Leonard like a battering ram in the national championship game. I'm like, that's not sustainable, guys.
No, we knew that.
And he limped off the field in the second quarter. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that was a crazy game plan to just have him try to be a one-man wing wing T.
Worked for a drive.
God. I thought about this yesterday, last night, after the show, and mm-hmm. I was thinking, and obviously on this show, we debate. It's what we do, and mm-hmm. we talk about these things, but I'm like, I am no longer ever going to argue with anybody about who has the better loss. Like, we don't play don't play sports to lose games. We play sports to win, and somewhere along the line, we have forgotten about winning.
Yeah.
And winning matters. Now, I also know you could give yourself a schedule of cupcakes and be undefeated, and it may not mean anything. I understand that too. I get there's a difference with that, but mm-hmm. like, I'm no longer arguing with people over losses and teams at the bottom of things to get into, because yeah. like, it doesn't, like, what are we arguing about the 68th team in the NCAA tournament? They're not winning it, so who cares who gets in that spot?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
who cares who's number 12 in this playoff, because they're not winning it anyway. So I thought about that a lot yesterday after our Alabama, Notre Dame and all that talk. Like,
yeah.
those are things we're going to do on the show, and I understand. But outside of this show, I'm not going to lose sleep over it or argue with people about it.
I hope you're not losing sleep over Tulane versus James Madison.
Well, some people do.
This one ties into it. This one from Brian. He writes, do you see a scenario where a team misses its conference title game and still receives a bye in the college football playoff? And if so, is Georgia currently in the best spot in the country in terms of the college football playoff? Georgia would be that team. They would be that team that this could happen to, because you could have chaos in the Big Ten. You could have Texas Tech lose in the conference championship game, and Georgia could easily find themselves in a bye scenario without playing for the SEC title. To answer the second part of his question, oh God, is Georgia in a sweet spot? They got a cupcake this week. Then they got Georgia Tech. If they win that, they're 11-1. As long as Alabama wins out, they don't have to play in the SEC title game, which means they get to sit for a week and rest. They can watch as Alabama plays Texas A&M, and then they can just kind of hang out. And if chaos happens around them, they can get a bye all the way to the quarterfinal. But even if they don't, they're the 5 seed, and they're playing a 12, James Madison or Tulane or somebody in that realm. That's essentially a bye. And then once they win that, they're going to play the lowest seeded team that has a bye. Yeah, Georgia's in a sweet spot, man.
Georgia's in a great spot, especially for that reason. That could happen. Like, are you going to jump Texas realistic. Tech over them for beating BYU again? I don't know if you're going to do that. Are you going to keep Indiana ahead of them? If it's Ohio State, Indiana in the Big Ten championship, and Ohio yeah. State houses them, are you mm-hmm. going to keep Indiana ahead of Georgia then? So I think it's a real possibility. Georgia and Mississippi, Ole Miss might be in the best spots here. Ole Miss is definitely in a great spot no matter what, because they're yeah. not going to the SEC championship game, and no. they're in this college football playoff.
Yeah, the only thing that makes Georgia's even better is they are in a position to potentially get a bye.
Correct. We don't know if that's going to happen, though.
We don't.
Ole Miss is not getting in the championship game.
No, but they're going to be, and I think they're right there. They're staying on the 6 line no matter what. But Georgia could be the 5. They could be the 4. Either one.
It's conversations like this where I know they'll never take away the playoff ranking shows.
No,
that's great. Those aren't going anytime soon.
They're great. All right, coming up next, a couple more. One, a very good one on Jeremiah Smith and the Heisman. In addition to that, a Christmas movie question from Mark that we will get to as well. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Sunday, a day of rest, relaxation, and Browns football. Catch the Brownies as they battle the Raiders live from Vegas.
Kickoff comes your way Sunday at 4:05.
Your radio home of the Browns, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies for us throughout the day today with temperatures topping out in the low 50s. And then for tonight, could see a stray shower or two. Otherwise, skies will turn mostly cloudy with our lows down into the 40s. For Friday, we start off dry, but the second half of the day, rain will develop. And we'll expect cloudy skies if it's not raining, with daytime highs getting into the mid-50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Hold on to your butts. Rivalry Week is coming.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Starting on Monday, we get you ready for, you know, The Fan. After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. This one came in just now from loyal listener Robert. He writes, I've been listening every morning for multiple years. Here's an interesting article that explains some of the Blue Jacket woes, and it's a pro hockey rumors. This is in regard to the Jackets being the most irrelevant franchise in America, or in North American sports. The Jackets and the Wild were screwed from the jump. I referenced this, and in that, as a city, Columbus gets no love whatsoever. I was on a trip to Lake Tahoe, and a young lady asked me where we were from, and I told her Columbus, Ohio. Her response was, oh, you live on a farm. We have had to overpay for every free agent in our history, and most of these guys were third and fourth liners. Now, moving forward, the Jackets most assuredly need to keep this team together. This team for trading for picks is over. Fantilli, Marchenko, Voronkov line will be lethal moving forward. The Monahan line is also exciting. Ken Johnson can be a 30-goal scorer. Our young guys are exciting to watch. I believe they are a couple of pieces away from being good for a long time. I agree with you. I agree with you on all of it. I do. And I think that's it. And so hopefully this is now the time. The other part of this, and this is a part I want to talk to Jody about at 11:30, is it's taken a while, but I think this is always a very good sign for a franchise. How many guys who played here stayed here? There's a massive alumni base here. These folks did not grow up in Columbus. But they came here, they played here, and then they made their homes here. So what does that do? That gets the word out. Johnny Gaudreau, God rest his soul, signing with the Columbus Blue Jackets was one of the biggest developments in hockey. Because he could have gone a lot of places. Not everywhere, because financially it was hard to make it all work. But he could have gone a lot of places. Could have stayed where he was. Devils, Flyers. He chose to come here. That tells you in the hockey world, the word is out that this is a great place to play and a great place to live.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think above all I'll never forget about the Gaudreaus is they chose us.
Yeah.
And so in that situation, it's love forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the word that is what I think Robert's talking about is that part of it. And that's coming.
And don't take it personal, guys. They're not attacking you. They're just saying the Blue Jackets have had 25 years of rough existence.
Because that's all his fault.
Hopefully, we're finally trending upwards.
All right, this one from Jeff. For the past couple of weeks, you've mentioned the value on Jeremiah Smith to win the Heisman, and yet the odds on him actually doing so only keep getting higher. What do you know that odds makers don't? Spill the beans, Unc. What is it right now on Jeremiah to win it? Because we said at 30-1, go get it.
The current odds, courtesy of FanDuel Sportsbook, and I think FanDuel's the only one doing live odds, have Jeremiah at plus 10,000.
Good night, nurse.
So he's behind Jeremiah Love, Haynes King, Gunnar Stockton, Diego Pavia, Marcel Reed. Julian Sane is plus 190 behind Fernando Mendoza at plus 100.
This is the best value that you may ever get on the universally accepted best player in college football to win the award. So he asked for a scenario. Or what do you know that we don't? I don't know anything that you don't. But here's what I do know after 25 years covering major college football. This thing is oftentimes won in the last 2 weeks. of the season. It's oftentimes won late. So as I've said many, many times on this show, you have to build a foundation as a player. You have to be known. You have to be team. People have to be aware of you. Jeremiah did that over the last 2 years. That's easy. He has two massive showcase games left. If he goes 8 for 143 and two touchdowns in the game, and then he stacks that with a 6 for 176 and two touchdowns against Indiana, and they win them both, and you go to make your ballot on that Saturday night or that Sunday morning, and you go, who's the most outstanding player in the country? Well, hell, it's four. It's four in Scarlet and Gray. I don't understand it. There's massive value on him.
I understand your scenario there, and I was with you. If he doesn't play this week, though, I think that takes a big hit because you only got a half last week. I think it's going to need... I think the numbers in those two games would have to be bigger. I think it'd have to be like 10 and 200 and Why, one of though? Them three. I just... Because so many people just look at the numbers. And they're going to say he's already splitting with Julian Sayin, and Fernando Mendoza's here as well.
Fernando Mendoza
area.
As the favorite is the dumbest bet you can make.
I'm not disagreeing.
Because if you're betting on Fernando Mendoza to win the Heisman, then you need to parlay that with Indiana winning the Big Ten. Because the only way he wins the Heisman is if they beat Ohio State. And if they do, he's going to win it in a landslide. But put those two together... My guess is the odds are longer on Indiana winning the Big Ten than they are on him winning the Heisman. So if you want to do that with Mendoza, fine, but understand that he's got to beat Ohio State to win the Heisman.
Just real quick, Indiana's plus 150 to win the Big Ten Conference.
Okay, so I wonder what that parlay would look like if you could put those two together. That would be, because that's the one, that's the bet. If you're going to do Mendoza, then do that bet.
And you're right on that. Indiana would have to win the Big Ten Conference for him to win it. I'm just saying in this region, like, there's going to be votes that are split among those three guys, I think. So I think Jeremiah would have to have absolutely monster games against Michigan and Indiana if that's the path that happens.
I think he could. That's incredible. 1,000 to 1 on him is crazy. This one from Mark. It's Christmas movie season. What is your personal Mount Rushmore of Christmas movies? Okay, so this is a little different because we got the kids. So that, there's some, like, they will watch, my wife with the kids will watch 175 Christmas movies between now and Christmas. Like, we're fully decorated. Trees up, lights up, all of it. I mean, we got garland, we got all the stuff. Like, you'd think that tomorrow, old St. Nick's coming down a chimney. He's not. But you'd think that he would. So, my personal one, they asked for my personal one. Christmas Vacation, number one. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I like Home Alone. I think Home Alone's great. Home Alone goes in at number two. Number three on this list... I think I'm going to go Four Christmases at number three. I'm going to go Four Christmases, number three. And number four, I fast forward through some of the Laura Linney stuff because it's just so improbable that she would continue to take these phone calls. Just makes no damn sense at all that you would do this. But number four, I'm going to go Love Actually. That's one that the blonde and I will watch together. So those are going to be my four that I will take in this season. What are your guys' four?
Love Actually has become a mandatory Christmas watch.
Yeah.
Through no selection of my own. It's not on mine. I've got Die Hard.
Billy Nye is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He's so great.
And not Billy Nye, the science guy.
No.
And I've seen Shaun of the Dead so many times when I see Bill Nye, I just think, he's not my dad. So I've got Die Hard, Home
Okay,
Alone.
Wait a second.
We don't have to do the argument. You can
right,
think
I
it's
won't.
Not,
I'll leave it.
Or
I'll
it is.
It.
I think
okay.
it is.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine.
Home Alone
fine.
2, I think, is the better
two.
Of the Home Alones.
Interesting.
Christmas Story.
We spent a lot of time with that woman and the birds, though, buddy, in 2.
I think it all pays. It's a great payoff at the end.
Okay.
Because they're about to get him, and they don't get him.
Yeah.
And then I like true. Four Christmases, too.
It's really funny.
It's such a good... I mean, you can watch it almost any time of the year.
Yeah.
But it's a real, I think it's a really stellar Christmas film.
Vaughn is cooking in that.
So I have Home Alone as my number one. I love that. It just has to be the time that I grew up, I guess. I think I was about 9 or 10 when that came out. So Home Alone's number one. I think you got to go with a classic, A Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Christmas Vacation. I mean, it might be. Christmas Vacation is number three. And then I'm going Home Alone 2 as my number four. I love them both.
Yeah. Elf's really good. I omitted Elf. That makes me feel bad. I don't know that I've ever seen It's a Wonderful Life. Like, from start to finish. Like, sat down and watched it. I mean, it's been on, and I'm aware of the story, but I don't know that I've ever sat down and watched it from start to finish.
I feel like that was, like, the older folks when you were younger. Every year, they had to.
You guys aren't Christmas Story folks either, huh?
I had it on mine.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, you did. That's right. I hadn't seen that one until, like, 5 years ago.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen that one.
I think it's TBS. TBS or TNT. They're the same. They do.
I would say, well, I
24
didn't have cable.
Hour. Okay.
I didn't have cable as a kid. So it wasn't something that we saw.
Yeah.
And so I just missed it. But that's a good one. All right. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, man, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
And he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hey, buddy, is Georgia in the best spot in the country right now? In regard to the playoffs,
yeah, and they're also it's hard to tell with Ohio State, Bo, but they're playing better than anybody other than Ohio State. I mean, they are incredibly dangerous, and it's cliche to say they're peaking at the right time, but that's exactly what they're doing.
If you're from a Georgia fan perspective, as I'm looking at, because I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, boy, I think they could be a four seed by the time, if chaos kind of shakes out even a little bit. Worst case scenario, though, it feels like they're the five. All they got to do is take care of Georgia Tech in the finale. Like, if you're Georgia fans, do you even want some scenario where they're not playing in the SEC title game? Don't you want them to not even play in that game?
Oh, nobody wants to play in the SEC title game this year. It's the most amazing thing. And by the way, nobody has any control over it. But Georgia fans remember very well going last year and winning, and it cost them a shot at the national championship. And I say all that because Carson Beck went down at the end of that game, or not, in the third quarter of that game, and Gunnar Stockton was ill-equipped to handle Notre Dame by the time they got to the Sugar Bowl.
Let's stay on that just for a second. Is there any dialogue at all out there about getting rid of these things? I mean, there's a million things wrong with the calendar. We've talked about it a bunch, but like this notion that you're going to play this highly leveraged game that really doesn't amount to anything. Is there any talk from Sankey or the powerful people you talk to regularly in the sport about getting rid of these things?
Not publicly, but I was with Mark Keenum 2 weeks ago, the head of the CFP management committee, and he flat out said, we want to go to 16. And what they don't say is to go to 16, you have to undo these championship games. And while nobody wants to go to the SEC game, it could be critical for certain teams like Alabama, assuming that they get there. But no game will have probably less meaning and be more significant just from a 1-2 standpoint than the Big Ten game. You tell me, Bo, because when we get around to that game in 2 weeks, it will be fun to watch, but what's the point of it?
It's crazy. We're dealing with it right now. I mean, Ohio State's November schedule, of no fault of their own, they've been 30-point favorites every game, and yet they got these two things that Ryan Day hasn't done or staring in front of him, at least he hasn't done recently. Hasn't beaten Michigan, hasn't won a Big Ten. So I think around here, they want those two things because they haven't had them in a while. But at the same time, I'm looking at it and going, I'd much rather be Georgia or Ole Miss and just hang out, or even Oregon. And just hang out for a week, and I'll get to the playoff and not have to worry about all of this. So it's being talked about up here, but I think the big thing that's happening right now is that the SEC and the Big Ten are just so diametrically opposed on a lot of this stuff. I don't know if they can ever get start rowing in the same direction.
Yeah, and not to divert because we're at the peak of the season, but that bromance is so weird, and it's as if it never existed. And when that happened, I don't know, a little bit over a year ago, maybe a year and a half, everybody felt good about it. And I was getting Ohio State fans calling in saying, this is really, we're in the same boat now. Mm-hmm. And it's Tony Petitti's fault. I mean, I don't know what happened to this guy. All the great respect, all the kudos, and he's gone off the grid. Sankey is still the same guy he's always been. He cares about his league more than anything else, but he's also willing to work. And I felt like Petitti blew that relationship up, and has really done the Big Ten tremendous damage.
Oh gosh, yeah, I concur in the words of Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If We Can. let's have the Bama talk. My God, what a loss that was for Kalen DeBoer and that program. And yet they still, I'm looking at their schedule. So they got Iron Bowl in 2 weeks. And then as it stands now, they're playing in the SEC title game against Texas A&M. If in a game of which if they lose, I'm not sure what happens there. Now you're talking about a three loss team. What is kind of your sense on how Alabama has to do as a minimum requirement to still make the college football playoff?
Well, we'll advance them past the Iron Bowl because for those who don't follow it, if they lose the Iron Bowl, they're not going to the playoffs. No. Nor should they. But the issue is what happens if they get to Atlanta and all these weird things start to happen, Bo, and a bunch of, you know, two or three schools sneak in the back door and they don't look good. I mean, you can't really trust anything this committee chairman says on Tuesday night because it's been a different committee chairman the last 2 weeks. And that's embarrassing enough. The CFP can't even keep its own chairman past the third week of the reveal for whatever reason he got jettisoned. So I think, you know, should they go over there and lay an egg, they're probably going to miss it. And that's going to bring this debate about the SEC title game even further to a head.
Yeah, and then DeBoer's in this spot where he goes from kind of prince of the city, never loses in a black hoodie and all of these things, to now all of a sudden he's in a situation where almost like if he doesn't win the SEC, and they've already played a bunch of high-leveraged games, if he doesn't win the SEC championship, is he on the outside looking in? And then that brings up the Vanderbilt part of it. Do they sneak in? It feels to me like five SEC teams are getting in, Paul. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I don't think you can go any higher than that. And Vanderbilt would be the one on the outside. If everyone else scoots along, Vanderbilt has to be Kentucky, which doesn't sound like a big deal unless you're Vanderbilt. And then they have to go to Knoxville and win a game that I frankly don't think they can win. So they're going to be an asterisk. They're probably not going. But the other five are pretty easy to figure out. And now that you have Oklahoma in the mix.
Absolutely. And Oklahoma's got Missouri this week and then LSU, I believe, next two weeks for them. So they're in a situation where they win and they are in. I want to ask you about Texas A&M. Do you give them credit for the comeback, or do you, for the first time in a while, have a little pause about them for the fact that they got down 31-3 to South Carolina?
Give them credit, and folks up in Columbus, you know, can relate to this to a degree, but as much as you hate the big noon kickoffs, try a game at 11 a.m., which is what it was in College Station last week, and I just think you're playing a completely inferior opponent, even though you lost to them, I believe, the year before. You just don't care about the game, and that was obvious, but I think it's pretty remarkable to be able to get down that much and then have that type of a comeback. And as equally remarkable was how badly Shane Beamer and his program gagged it. And they had a big lead against Alabama, too, about five mm-hmm. weeks ago. So that's and by the way, Shane Beamer could no longer sneak off to go to Virginia Tech. James Franklin made sure of that this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we forget that at one point South Carolina is like the 11th ranked team in the country, and it's all crumbled around them there. All right, before I get to my favorite topic with you,
I know what that is.
what is your as we sit here on November 20th? What is your most likely scenario for the SEC title game?
I think it's going to be Alabama and Texas A&M. It could be Alabama, Georgia. And by the way, Bo, I'm not even sure I have all the ifs and buts, but yeah. I think that's the easiest thing to say Alabama, Georgia is also a possibility. If Alabama loses to Auburn, I will not even know who's in the title game because the meltdown on the board will be so epic that I don't even think I'll remember what time the SEC title game. And I will make this transition easy for you. As wild as all this is, and people have said, mm-hmm. Well, what's the DeBoer conversation been like on your show this week? It's been muted for one reason. There has been one other drama queen who has taken over every ounce of oxygen on the Feinbaum show and a lot of other shows, and I'll give you one big guess on who that is.
Well, my question was, like, if DeBoer loses the Iron Bowl, maybe Kiffin just goes to Alabama. Maybe that's what he does.
Everybody asks, like, what job does he really want? It's the Alabama job. That's the one he has coveted. He tried desperately 2 years ago to even get a phone call. Mm-hmm. I know this for a fact. He couldn't get a call from Greg Byrne for the Alabama job.
So this brings up where we are now. From my vantage point, it feels to me like he's playing this out. I just see no scenario how he could leave Ole Miss in this spot, because if he leaves them in the middle of a playoff and they're going to make the playoff, I mean, next to Georgia, they might be in the best spot. They're going to be the sixth seed. It's all kind of seems like it, as long as he handles his business. If he doesn't, then no one's going to want to hire him anyway. I don't see him leaving, his staff leaving, all of it in the middle of it. That's from 30,000 feet. That's my perspective. I think he's going to sign an extension at Ole Miss. And heck, these jobs are open in the SEC, as you know, about every 2 years. The Bama job could be open again shortly. So LSU, for that matter. What's your feeling on the situation as we sit now?
That probably is the most logical, but then you start to argue, like, why has he done this to his own fans? Now, they'll forget. You know that, Bo. Mm-hmm. They're starting to get very irritated with him. And maybe that's exactly who he is. He just needed one more dance and have fun with it. But he's using a lot of capital. Personally, I think he's coveted that Florida job. I don't think LSU is something he wants to encounter because LSU is just more of a meat grinder. Florida fires coaches regularly, but it's been so long at Florida since they've had a good season. So that's the only thing I'm saying there.
If he leaves, I assume half – that's going to be crazy. Like, if he leaves Ole Miss and, like, they're in the playoff and, like, Simmons and those guys hop in the portal, I mean, wouldn't that be the logical thing?
Yes, it would be one of the most epic meltdowns we have ever seen. And I think that's why, from a pragmatic standpoint, you have a hard time believing it will happen. But I'm for it happening. I guess maybe that's self-serving.
Well, well said, sir, as always. Good talking to you, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
Bo, always enjoy it. Thank you.
There he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network. We'll play a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Do the holiday party.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURN. And Berm are back with a new daily podcast, the Ultimate OSU Football Insiders. You know, it's refreshing to have some smart people working here from time to time.
The Beat with Austin and Berm on the 10 TV Plus app.
Subscribe today.
Feeling stuck?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
I think it was Baker that mentioned this yesterday about the calendar in college athletics, most importantly, college football. CFB personality Josh Pate says playoff expansion isn't the main thing people should be worried about in the sport that we love.
The biggest problem facing the sport right now is not the size of the college football playoff. The biggest problem by 100 miles facing college football right now is how insane the calendar is. Like, right now, the conversation should not be, well, we're going to expand the playoff to 24. Your conversation should be, hey, how do we get the National Signing Day moved to February instead of early December and the portal window to post-college football playoff and rework the academic calendar where we can make it all happen so that we don't have coaching searches overlapping with the stretch run of the regular season because guys have to get in a new position to salvage a recruiting class before the portal opens. That's what the conversation should be. Instead, the conversation is, we have some money. We'd like more money. We have no talent. We can't build anything ourselves. This thing over here exists. It's called the college football playoff. Let's just increase the size of that thing.
Thing or not a thing.
Okay, you guys have either worked on this show or known me for a long time. How long have I been talking about this?
Say, sounds like he listens to this show.
I mean,
his gets us meter, is it like an 11 out of 10?
I was doing, I mean, this goes back to, I mean, to almost 8 years. I took it a step further, Josh. I gave you the calendar. With keeping the academic calendar the same, I gave it to you. This isn't hard. There has to be sacrifices on both sides. You're going to have to give up your early entry signees. You're going to have to wait to get them until summer. Fine. That's a sacrifice you have to make. My guess is most in college football would do it. This is really simple. You move the regular season up a week. Week zero is now week one. You eliminate conference championship games. So the final regular season game of the year now, the Ohio State-Michigan game, would happen this week. This week. Next week would be Army-Navy after Thanksgiving. The following week, that first week in December, that's round one of the college football playoff. The next week is the quarterfinal of college football playoff. Then if you want to give an off week for Christmas, fine. You play the national semifinals on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I'd just do them both on New Year's Day. Do both of them on New Year's Day. You play the national semifinal the first Saturday night that follows. Get it off a Monday. Solved. You get rid of the early signing period. You get rid of the transfer portal. The transfer portal opens in January, where they can actually get into school in January. There's no portal open in December. There's no signing class in December. You sign it in February. Done. I'll take my fee.
Bo,
this isn't hard. It's not hard.
I remember a time when this weekend was when the Ohio State-Michigan game was played.
Like, who would not sign up for what I just spit out? And I've spit that out for 7 years. Who's not signing up for that? Fixed.
So like that
just
goof,
did it. Boom.
That goofball in the Rose Bowl jacket?
No, he still can have his Rose Bowl.
Okay.
He can still have his Rose Bowl. In fact, his Rose Bowl is a national semifinal.
Perfect.
But on New Year's Day.
Fine.
And the parade.
Fine.
Okay, he signs up for it.
Then you know what else? I don't, Jimmy Crackcorn, and I don't care about the Rose Bowl. Play the damn Rose Bowl in the middle of December if you have to, if you want it so badly in a quarterfinal. Who cares? It's all arbitrary anyway.
It is so funny in a sport that is spit in the face of so many traditions that, oh, we want to hang on to these main bowls that have always been there with us because they've always treated us so well.
Because, God, they give us great sweets. I mean, you go to the Fairmont Princess, get the Gene Smith suite. Come on, baby. You're living. You're living, man.
Got to scratch their back. They've been scratching ours for so long. Oh,
for sure. Yeah. Like those dinners at the, the BLT steak. Go get one of those babies. Come on. That bone marrow they put on the plate. Come on. That wins every time.
But you guys need to travel cross country to play your baseball games and your lacrosse games and all that stuff, man.
Just like, it's so simple. I don't understand it. I feel like you could fix it in a second.
Earlier this week, rumors circulated that South Florida's Alex Golish had interviewed for the vacant Oklahoma State job. On Tuesday, Golish was asked if he'd talk to OSU. Quote, I have not. I'm so focused and locked in on this program and team. We have so much work to do, but I have not. End quote. Last night, South Florida Athletic Director Rob Higgins put out a very long statement on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, but I'll read the last part of it. We all appreciate how totally locked in Coach Golish has stayed on our program and student athletes throughout the season, despite what a lot of the false reports that continue to circulate online suggest. Go Bulls. Thing or not a thing?
This feeds right into what I just said. Like, what do you want him to do? And this is a Dublin kid. Dublin man. Like, what do you want him to do? He's never been hotter. I mean, hell, he might be up for the Florida job. The Florida job would change his life. It would change his life. And what do you want him to say? You want him to not pick up the call? Like, this is Oklahoma State. It's easy to stay out of the mix with this. But if the University of Florida calls, if they don't get Kiffin and they don't get their first couple of guys and they call him, you want him to not listen? And how the hell is that fair to his team? How's it fair to his coaches? It all marries.
I remember about a month ago, maybe a month and a half, we played a clip from Alex Golish on with Jacob Hester and Bob. Mm-hmm. Talking about this very same thing, and he was his messaging here is very consistent from back then to now. It was pretty much the same. You're right. Why wouldn't Florida give this guy a call? I'm also not so sure Penn State shouldn't be calling him.
Yeah.
Just to see what his availability is, what he's done down there in South Florida. Listen, it'd be nice to see him stay at South Florida and try to build something there, but the reality is there's just limitations in some spots, and he's going to be able to cash this run in for a lot more money somewhere, and you can't blame him. What sucks, though, is that he has to worry about this now as his team is playing for maybe, possibly, a shot at a CFP run.
Mm-hmm. I mean, John Summerall, who Paul Feinbaum mentioned, is also in that same vein.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if they call Tulane's head coach while the feisty Green Wave are looking at a playoff spot, well, that's how can he say no? And how can you be mad if he does?
Right.
At least take the interview, take the phone call, look into it. Baker, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation here. Panthers forward Etu Lustarinen.
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 Yep.
Was listed on their injury report as week to week. Panthers head coach Paul Maurice described his ailment as, quote, a barbecuing mishap.
Whoa.
And could not provide a timetable for a return. Maurice told reporters, quote, we don't have a lot of experience with this. When he comes back and feels comfortable with the equipment on him, away we'll go. End quote. Florida is 10-8-1 on the season and pretty injury plagued. They're 21 points as the Panthers sixth in the Atlantic Division. Thing or not a thing.
It feels like he got burnt. So what can happen when it's cold is the gas stays low, and then when it ignites, it can explode. I mean, it got Hannah Storm, remember?
Yeah.
A few years ago, she was in the winter, she was lighting her barbecue.
David Njoku had something just a few years ago with this similar.
You're exactly right. A couple of years ago, he got burnt. That's probably one of the toughest things I've ever seen when he played 4 days later or 3 days later. That's maybe one of the toughest things I've ever seen with his skin peeling off.
Hannah Storm's didn't. Hers was really bad. Like, didn't the propane tank blow up or something with her right there? It was pretty extreme. You didn't see her for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist. I'm not Bill Nye nor Bill Nye, either one. But there's something about gas and cold that can cause problems when it's really cold. And so that's what leads to this type of stuff. But that's scary, man. Really scary. Final hour of the program coming up next. A little bit of Shelly time at 11:30. Coming up next, we attempt to beat the house. We did last week. Good job out of us, Reese. We'll try to do it again. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Monday starts up a pretty big week. Gobble, gobble, and all that crap. Let's focus on what really matters. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. It'll be Senior Day Saturday at the Shoe. Number one Ohio State hosts Rutgers at noon. Buckeyes are 31.5-point favorites. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day radio show. It'll likely be the final game at Ohio Stadium for Caleb Downs. This morning, the Buckeyes safety was named one of four finalists for the Bronco Nagurski Award. That's given annually to the nation's best defensive player. In the NFL tonight, the Texans host the Bills at 8:15. Davis Mills will quarterback Houston as C.J. Stroud remains in concussion protocol. In college hoops, Ohio State hosts Western Michigan tonight at 8. We'll have that game on The Fan. Brandon Beam will gently warm you up at 7. Basketball Buckeyes will host Mount St. Mary's next Tuesday night before playing at Pittsburgh on Black Friday. This update is sponsored by Green. Green & Sons, family-owned and operated for over 45 years. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville in Raymond.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube.
What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, a little bit of Shelley time coming up in 28 minutes from Toronto. Right now, time to attempt to beat the house.
Beat the house.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
I am proud of you two for fighting back last week. Jeez. You both go over 500. You go 8-7 on the week. Reese, you are now 73-91 on the year. Bo, 85-79. Let's continue that momentum, boys. Tonight, we've got the Buffalo Bills down in Texas taking on the Houston Texans. Kirk and Al on the call over on Amazon Prime. The Bills, the road favorite, 6 points.
Did you guys see the video Herbie put up of his golden retriever in a four-season suite in Houston, like playing fetch on the sofa?
Living his best life.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
What are we doing? I mean, jeez.
Because you know what dogs do on sofas, right?
I do. Okay. Yeah, that's why Buddy Garrity's not allowed on the sofas. Mm-hmm. He's got his own little sofas that he has that we've procured for
him. Sure, the staff of the Four Seasons appreciates that.
Yeah. All right. It's a dome. It's Davis Mills. I'm not going to overthink it. I think Buffalo does have some flaws, but I think they're ready to play on Thursday night, and I think Josh Allen has a big one. I like the Bills, and I'll throw the 6.
Real quick, Dalton Kincaid, that's a big one for the Bills. He's out tonight as well with a hamstring.
Bills.
I'm hitting the Josh Allen button. Yeah, Buffalo.
By the way, real quick, before we go any further, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You went Bills too?
Yeah.
A lot of whole numbers this week, guys.
I saw that.
First time we've seen that, like, in weeks.
1 o'clock on Sunday, the New England Patriots in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. I was actually kind of surprised this number wasn't more. The Bengals, the home dog, 7 points.
Yeah, I was too. I'm going to take New England here. No Jamar Chase. You're probably getting Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bengals don't want to tackle anybody. New England wants to run over everybody.
Yeah, I think New England's just really, really good. In fact, the fact that this number isn't bigger almost gives me pause and makes me think somebody knows something. But I know Mike Vrabel, and I know the way that he coaches his team. And while this one could be close early, I don't think it will be late. I think Joe's got some problems with his throwing arm as well. So I'll take New England. I'll throw the 7 as well.
The Pittsburgh Steelers in Chicago taking on the Bears. The Bears a home favorite, 2.5 points.
I don't know what's going on at quarterback for Pittsburgh.
Will Howard, number 2?
Yeah, I guess he would elevate, right, if he could. I'm just going gut here. I'm going Pittsburgh going to Chicago and winning. I know that there's been a lot of juice for the Bears lately. They somehow, some way, find a way to win. Give me Pittsburgh. I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take Chicago because, like you mentioned, they somehow, some way find a way. I think that way is just a last-second field goal that lifts the Bears over the Steelers.
We've got a double-digit number in this one as the Giants head to Detroit to face the Lions, the home favorite, 10 points.
And I like that number being the margin. Like, I think the Giants are a scrappy team. I think Detroit's got some things to work out offensively. But I think the Lions win here, but they don't cover that. Give me the Giants, plus the 10.
So last week with Jameis, they lost by 7 to the Packers, but battled and kind of stayed in it. Something's a little off in Detroit, and I think this number's just a touch too big. I'm going to go with you, Reese, and I'm going to take the road team and give me the 10.
Big NFC North matchup. The Minnesota Vikings in Green Bay facing the Packers. The Packers are the home favorite, 6 points.
What do we make of J.J. McCarthy?
It's not great.
Not great.
No, it is not great. Lambeau, it's going to be warm, almost 50 degrees there. Packers don't really annihilate anybody. You think they're they've really been struggle bus the last few times out. Why is this one so big? I'll go Green Bay and I'll throw the six.
I like Green Bay to win here, but yeah, this will be one of a few rock fights I can see this weekend. Give me Minnesota to cover.
The Seattle Seahawks in Tennessee to face the Titans. The Titans, big number they are getting at home, 13.5 points.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks by two touchdowns here. It's a bounce-back game for Sam Darnold and company.
Yeah. This Titans team's a tough one to read. They're definitely better at home. The most comparable kind of situation like this was the Rams. They hosted the Rams in week two and lost 33-19, which is right on it. I feel like that's kind of where this one's headed. That's a lot of points to throw hold. That's a lot to throw, 13.5, but I think that they just get by. I could see Seattle winning this one something like 31-17, so give me Seattle.
Maybe the game of the week and maybe a must-win for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're hosting the Indianapolis Colts, and the Chiefs are favored by 3.5.
A lot on the Colts early on this season. They lost at Pittsburgh 27-20. We were like, what is going on? It's the hook that brings me back on this one. If it were 2.5, I would take. I do think Kansas City's winning this game, but I don't think they're running away from anybody. So give me the Colts to cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I actually think the Colts win this thing here. They go into Arrowhead and get a win.
This is a big number two. New York Jets in Baltimore to face the Ravens. The Ravens are the home favorite, 13.5 points.
Holy smokes.
Lamar, questionable. He's got an ankle injury, but this is the thing I've been saying about college football and the NFL, and I'm not breaking any news here at this point in the year. Everybody's dealing with something. So I think the Ravens win this game, but I think the Jets cover the 13.5.
So Tyrod Taylor at quarterback.
Because Aaron Glenn wanted to was the reason he caved. Like, all right.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. It doesn't feel like it's going well. But I think because of that, I think that they'll have a game plan and I think they'll slow it down a little bit. I'm with you. I like the Jets to cover the 13.5.
4:05 in the Does Anyone Care Bowl. Unless you want to see Shador's
first
start.
A great many people care. What do you mean?
Everybody wants to see Shador's first start.
I think this will be the most watched battle of 2-9 teams in the history of the NFL. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are the home favorite. They are laying 4 points.
Let me ask you a question. Is Channel 10 taking this one, or are they taking the Bengals game?
They do not have this one. This will not be shown locally in Columbus, at least last I heard.
Well, no, I know that's what it was, but I think in the old days, we used to be able to go and we could make like a change for Cincinnati or Cleveland, and we could pick. So I'm curious what they do, because I think the one that would rate better would be this. Is this you or me, Reese?
I think it's you.
Okay. I watched Geno Smith throw it to the other team. I watched their inability to protect. They're disinterested in running with Ashton Jenny. Honestly, Myles Garrett could get 6 sacks in this game. I'm not even kidding you. He could. I think the Browns, I have no idea what to expect out of Shador. I have no idea what to expect out of their offense. As long as he doesn't throw it directly to them like 4 times, I think the Browns' defense alone is going to be enough to make this very hard on the Raiders. So give me the Brownies.
Bernie Kosar with his new liver. Will the Browns to win in Las Vegas? Yeah, give me Cleveland here.
I like that, Reese. Do it for Bernie.
Yeah.
Also at 4:05, the Jacksonville Jaguars head across the country to face the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are a home dog by 3.
Yeah, the Cardinals stink. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars to win here. And this is another spread it on game, I think, for Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's got so many injuries in this one. I'm going to go Arizona. I'm going to go hunch on this one. I'm going to go Arizona at home, getting a weird win with Jacoby Brissett, who, by the way, I think broke the NFL record for completions in a loss. He had like 48 completions last week.
Yeah, like the graphic they had, or I saw on one of the sites, had him in a Browns uniform too. Yeah. Guys, wait a minute.
4:25, we head to the NFC East. Down in Dallas, the Cowboys hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the favorites on the road by 3.5.
Philly's defense is going to be a problem, but I think Dallas offensively, maybe they get a little bounce back here. I'm going to go Dallas. I think Dallas maybe wins this one outright. Maybe this is the one Philly finally loses.
It's a good thing we don't have to pick the outright here for the house, because I'll pick Dallas plus the 3.5. I think the Eagles win.
Bo, real quick, yours again is?
Dallas.
Okay, so both of you on the Cowboys in this one. The Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins in New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Saints are the favorite at home by 1.5.
If you bet on this game, call the hotline. But I'll take the Falcons, because why not?
No Drake London, right? For Atlanta. I think he's dinged up too. I'm going to go the home team. I'm going to go New Orleans, winning this one outright. Atlanta is in it. By the way, do you know who owns Atlanta's first round pick next year?
No.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, boy.
Do you imagine?
That's unfair.
Can you imagine picking like in the top five after a team that can honestly win the Super Bowl? Like if they,
they make the NFC Championship game and they get a top five pick.
Top five, six, seven pick. Like they could end up with Caleb Downs.
Great. Great. Speak that into existence. The last thing he needs is Arvell Reese.
They do have Drake London right now listed as doubtful.
Yeah, I think
for this game.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football, the Tampa Bay Bucks are heading to Los Angeles to face the team you just talked about, Bo, the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, home favorites, 7 points.
Ram it.
I think the Rams win. I think Baker's going to keep them feisty. So give me Tampa to cover, LA to win.
And then we will pick it on Monday night. The best team in the history of football, Carolina Panthers at San Francisco right now. That is a 7-point spread for the home team.
That better be Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, or they don't have a shot in hell. That's all I'm going to say. They better all be playing in this one. Get Charles Haley out. All of them. All of them better be playing. No one's beating that Carolina team.
T.O. says he can play.
Fine. Put him in there.
Roger Craig, Bill Walsh. Yep.
Give me a Tom Rathman. Absolutely.
Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone.
Get them all out there. Freddie Solomon. All right, coming up next, Shedeur Sanders is going to get his first start. He talked about it. We'll have it for you coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
It's the year.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your new Columbus home for the Jim Rome Show is The Fan 2.
Catch the live experience weekdays from 3 to 6.
Just one requirement. Have a take and don't suck. The Fan 2. Columbus's home of the Jim Rome Show.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies for us throughout the day today with temperatures topping out in the low 50s. And then for tonight, could see a stray shower or two. Otherwise, skies will turn mostly cloudy with our lows down into the 40s. For Friday, we start off dry, but the second half of the day, rain will develop. And we'll expect cloudy skies if it's not raining, with daytime highs getting into the mid-50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Starting Monday, it's Rivalry Week. We call it that because the Buckeyes play a very annoying team from Michigan. Clever.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
And it's your Uncle Bo here. Get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Side of Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. not just here, but all over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Siyata Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick from more than 1,700 of the hottest new games, sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy keeps building. Siyata Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's all coming right here to Columbus. So experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Siyata Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966 or visit caesars.com/Siyata Downs. For details. Shador Sanders is going to start Sunday in Las Vegas. I think before we hear from him, I do think this is about the softest landing spot you could ever make your first start. Vegas is not very good. It's a dome. It's grass. It's 4 o'clock. It's going to have probably quite a few Browns fans at the game anyway, and that it's Vegas has become the place where every NFL team goes, their fans go to travel to. So it's not going to be a crazy, this isn't going into the black hole in Oakland or anything like that. He's got the full week to prepare. Their weapons are healthy. Their tackles are getting healthier. And so this is a spot that you ought to be able to have some success by on the other side of it. Remember, Dylan Gabriel debuted in London against Minnesota and then had to go to Pittsburgh. First two times out. So that was the spot he was in. This spot is a better one for sure. This is going to be a fascinating thing to see how all of this shakes out. Shador was available yesterday and had a bunch to say. Let's start with the notion of this week is all about him and all of those reps are coming his way.
Yeah, I'm truly excited for that. Knowing that, you know, I have a piece of offense and a say-so and how things fit my eye and place the players exactly where they need to be, seeing how they come in and out of routes, seeing the structure of the alignment, seeing they set, seeing, just having a feeling. Like, I'm more of a feel type of person, so that's how I learn, that's how I do everything. I'm just watching, it's just going to happen. No, like, I got to be out there, feel it. I got to move around. It's like so many details that it takes for me, you know, to feel my best and play my best. And I'm doing everything, my power, and the team's doing everything, you know, to help me get prepared.
He was also asked about his approach this week and the fact that he is starting.
Same how I always am, you know, knowing exactly where everybody's going to be prepared. Understand that they have a great defense. They're coached by a great coach, you know, and they have a great players on that side of the ball. So just doing what I can, you know, to prepare mentally, you know, physically, emotionally, to make sure I'm my best self.
He's obviously, this has been one of the divisive topics. I think if you turned on Get Up at any point this week, I'm guessing they talked about it every single day. It's something that folks up in Cleveland on local radio up there have talked about every single day for all of the season. And I understand it. His dad's one of the greatest football players of all time. He was one of the most famous players in college football over the last two seasons. And so with all of that comes outsized expectations for sure. Here is Shador on trying to manage that.
I would say, for sure, I'm my own biggest critic, you know. So in certain situations in the game, even in that fourth down of that last game, I wish I would have just extended the play, you know. So mind you, I don't listen to critics. I don't listen to anybody has to say that's not within the organization, not within the team, not within the family or anything, because it's like, everybody have their own perspectives, but they're not out there doing it, you know, so, or they've done it in their past life and their time has passed. So I'm just thankful that I'm living in the present. Now I have the opportunity to go out there and do the best I can. Will there be mistakes? Of course. But it wouldn't be as many mistakes, you know, trying to minimize those most possible.
One of the men in charge of putting Shador in the best position to succeed is head coach Kevin Stefanski. He's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. Tommy Reese is the offensive coordinator. They are going to put a game plan together that is going to fit Shador Sanders' eye. Kevin was asked yesterday how Sanders has grown in the offense this season. Here's was his answer.
Yeah, we've talked a lot over the course of these months is just learning NFL defenses for young players. Learning, obviously, our system, but just I always point out to the quarterbacks that every week you're facing a defense that has oftentimes has completely different rules than the defense you just played, whether it's how they play their cover three or some of their blitz, some of your blitz protection calls can vary week to week. So I just see Shador, Dylan, all of our young guys, but in particular that quarterback room, growing a ton, both just with the X's and O's and then all the work you do in individual periods. I just think all that work adds up. So I do see significant growth from Shador and all these young guys.
So many people have thrown stones at Stefanski for not giving him reps, and I dispelled that earlier in the week about just how either disingenuous or uneducated that was on how the NFL actually worked. The other thing was there was this notion that, oh, they don't, he doesn't want to play him. He doesn't want to do this, doesn't want to do that. Stefanski said yesterday that he actually meets with Shador every single morning and has all season individually to try to get him up to speed. The notion that the Cleveland Browns, if there was an opportunity for them to have a franchise quarterback, would do something to harm that out of spite. They drafted him, guys, in the fifth round. They drafted him. Every team in the NFL passed on Shador Sanders multiple times. They didn't. They passed on him a couple of times, but they gave him. They drafted him. And the opportunity now is for him to take full advantage of that on Sunday. I don't know what to expect. What we saw as he was thrown into action last Sunday was some of the things and the criticisms that people had of him coming out of Colorado. You also saw why, for example, Mel Kiper was so high on him, because he does stand tall in the pocket and he will throw it down the field and he will make you defend every blade of grass. There were a couple of throws that were big time throws. There was one to Fannin that was a big time throw. There was the one to Larvidin, which is a big time throw. But in terms of what it looks like over the course of an entire game, who knows? We'll see. They have not been good offensively all year long. So their defense has been elite. This is a Raiders defense that you ought to be able to take advantage of, though. What is realistic in your guys' eye for, I guess the better way to put this is, rather than the expectations, what do you hope to see from him Sunday?
50% completion percentage, a interception to touchdown ratio that's 1-to-1. Nothing too excessive in either direction means he did what, you know, because with him and Gabriel, the difference is, I think the biggest one for me is Gabriel takes care of the ball better. Shador is going to press it down the field better, but that's also going to open him up to some, oh no, Shador, how could you throw that interception there? This, I think, hinges a lot for me is when the defense puts the Browns offense in good spots and positions, like they did last week against Baltimore, can this offense move the ball and cash it in? If they're not going to use Shador with his arm, maybe Shador with his legs. Maybe they can get better blocking with Quinn. If you can help him out with a decent run game, that's better for a rookie quarterback. And it's not breaking any news, but just for me to put a bow on it, 1-to-1, touchdowns to interceptions.
I think you just want to see some signs of life from the passing game. Something. I don't know if that can happen, but you just want to see a little bit. Bo, back to your point about the Browns and a franchise quarterback in spite, I feel like a lot of people do feel that the Browns gave up on a franchise quarterback out of spite, between whatever differences there were between Baker and the front office and the coaching staff. I think a lot of people do feel that way, and I don't think you're going to change their mind. Also, some news out of Browns camp. They have signed defensive end Alex Wright to an extension here this morning. 3 years, nice. $33 million, 21 guaranteed.
He's had a great year. Yeah, the thing with on the Baker front, like, nobody wants to ever hear the real truth on that. It's like people live in their truth and don't want to hear the real truth on it. And you don't even have to take my word for it. You can ask Baker. He's addressed it many times. In fact, there was a story he addressed it this week that going to the Rams saved him. That's what started his rehabilitation into being what he was drafted to be. I mean, remember, it wasn't just the Browns. It was the Carolina Panthers. He was a broken player. He went to L.A. and he found himself. I asked Monson that yesterday. What is it that the Rams, and he kind of dispelled it because of the Goff thing, but I think he was forgetting a little bit about the Baker part of it. But you think about Rams, Niners, Vikings. There's a rehabilitation that happens in those places for young quarterbacks. And the same thing's going to happen to Mac Jones. People are going to be wanting to trade them for Mac Jones. They have him on a 2-year deal, and they're going to get something back for him because of the way he played there. It's a quarterback resuscitation that happens in those places. Jackets back at it in Toronto tonight against the Leafs. A little bit of Shelley time coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan.
The gloves.
Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards.
Experience collecting in a whole new way.
Jackets continue their tour of O Canada. They are in Toronto tonight to take on the Leafs, and that's where we find Mr. Jody Shelley. Was it a keg dinner last night? What did you get it in?
Can you say the town I'm in again, please?
Do you even know?
I know. I just want to hear the pronunciation.
Toronto?
You got it.
Yeah.
Did you see where they had the Jays pronouncing it? Some people are guilty of saying Toronto.
Oh, come on.
Which is incorrect. Toronto.
Toronto.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
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 I did go to the keg, the Great Canadian Steakhouse. Same order. I could have been in and out in 10 minutes, but I drug it out for 25. Just, you know, when there's any indecision, I just say the keg.
Very reasonable. What's your order is, you go Caesar salad, do you go filet, baked potato? Do they do the twice baked potato? Is that what they do?
It's their specialty.
Yeah.
Twice baked and, small filet.
Gosh, that's great.
Outstanding. Yeah. It's very so good. That's quick and easy. And then, listen, the Billy Miner, underrated dessert.
Mm.
Coffee ice cream with a nice little Oreo crust on the bottom, fudge on top.
Whoa.
I might have indulged. Yeah. It's good.
Whoa. You're living, brother.
That was the highlight of the day. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about the absurdity of the travel when you guys did the Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Seattle nonsense, which was, I looked it up. It's actually a 12-hour drive from Edmonton to Vancouver. So that's like going from Columbus to damn near Miami. What can you explain? And now here, so then you're home, then we're going to Winnipeg, then Toronto, like bouncing all over the spot, get in at 2 o'clock in the morning, then you play the Winnipeg game. What is the NHL's thinking with all of this? Because it feels more extreme than normal.
Yeah, I think it's there's a couple things. I think that GMs like in towns like Dallas, they don't have anyone that's close. Like, so everyone goes in and used to play Calgary, Edmonton. Well, more teams are going Calgary, Seattle, Edmonton, Vancouver. You know, it's to break up that advantage if there's a slight one to teams or the home teams in those situations where, you know, they get the same team twice on the back to back. For this one, listen, the Olympics is going to be almost 3 weeks shut down in the National Hockey League. Everyone in every market has something to say about their schedule. Everyone's dealing with it. We've seen a lot of injuries and a lot of teams. They don't travel. It's not rough travel. I mean, you know, you're not going through the airports and, you know, it's private travel. So it's not terrible. But no one's crammed in seats. So you kind of get to that point where you do say, what city am I in? Because really you're just on the bus, off the bus, in the hotel, on the bus, on the plane, in the next city. Whereas this trip is kind of nice. Okay, the back-to-back was tough. That's the toughest back-to-back you'll get all season. Play at home and then go play in Winnipeg the next night. That's draining. But you got to love how they gave themselves a chance of winning that one. You know, they were in the game. That's all you could ask. They needed a lot of things to go really well to win that game, and we're going to have that a few times this season. But tonight, now yesterday was a day off. Today is here. Tomorrow's a day off in Detroit. Play there at 1 o'clock, and then you have a day off Sunday and play. So it's a nice spread out kind of reward road trip here where you can take a breath in between games, and every team is going to have to pay the price at some point with their condensed schedule, and they're going to be scratching their heads. And that's what the NHL is thinking. That's a really long answer, but that's my thoughts.
No, I think, I mean, fans are curious. I get people, you know, this seems extreme, and it is sometimes, it seems extreme to me too, but I had forgotten about that winter break part of it with the Olympics. Like that, now everything's really having to be kind of stretched. It's a massive sacrifice to the NHL. I think it's my view of it, Joe, is it's probably worth it for the good of the game, but I could see if I own the Blue Jackets and I'm the McConnells, I'm thinking like, I'm not crazy about this. So I can kind of see both sides of it.
Yeah, no, it is good for the game. You go back to the Four Nations last year. I know it was in North America, but what it did for hockey on a global scale and the attention it got, even in the U.S. market on major networks for sports, it's the right thing to do. And the players get it. There's revenue to be had. They want the cap to go up. They don't want to pay escrow. So it's just part of what they're a part of now.
You mentioned a day off yesterday in Toronto. How many guys on our team are from that area?
Four. Now, Boone Jenner's not in the lineup. That would be five. He's hurt. So yeah, four. I think Gabranson might be. Well, Gabranson's Ottawa. Yeah, there's four guys from this area. Jack Greaves being one of them. He's going to get the start tonight at home. Fantilli, remember he had the hat trick, viral video last year when his mom threw the hat. Luca Delbel-Belouz, fourth line centerman here tonight. He is. And then I'm missing one. What else can I forget? Oh, Sean Monahan. Sean Monahan grew up in this area playing lacrosse. Almost didn't play hockey because he was playing lacrosse. Canada's national sport, by the way.
It's massive.
And yeah, it is a big sport up there. I never played, but I think it's big Ontario, New Brunswick, and maybe Western Canada.
Yeah, my kids play it, and I know that when we, in club lacrosse in the summer, when we end up playing a team from Canada, especially the Toronto area, it's an attention getter. It's they know they're locked in. You mentioned Jet, and forgive me for not knowing this. Is this the first time has he ever had a start in Toronto?
Forgive me for not knowing that. I want to say I don't believe so.
Yeah.
But I'll check. Let me ask Steve. I won't. It's too far away.
Okay. But that would be a massive. That's a pretty massive one for a kid from Toronto to get a start at that joint.
Yeah. They just got out here. He's just taking shots right now in the starting net. Yeah, listen. Of course, there's some things. It's a great league. You love being in the league and playing against superstars every night. But for him, he's going to play against a Austin Matthews-less Toronto Maple Leafs. But still, to be here in this building, probably where he's watched a lot of games, would be fun. It's fun every time coming here for players because you want to beat them. They're kind of like the Yankees of MLB. Everything's bigger. Everything's a little different here. And it's a fun place to come get a win.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones, and you've always said this before when we go there, all of a sudden the media throng, there's 40 people standing around you. Awesome. I mean, it's really cool. It's all of those things. I think it's a really fun, been there a bunch, but I think it's an awesome town in the summer, do the Hockey Hall of Fame, all that stuff. I think it's really, really cool.
It's only a 6-hour drive. Yeah, it's a good destination.
Really is. All right. In terms of what you're looking for from this team tonight, now that you get a little bit of rest, you mentioned Jet back in net. What are you looking for in those first 5-6 minutes on the ice to let you know that we're in for a fun one tonight?
Well, I think it's just a team that gets to the grind game right away. There is a fragility to this Toronto Maple Leafs team. They're coming off a losing streak, 4 or 5 games, and then they win one last game against the St. Louis Blues. They've got, 7 important pieces out of their lineup, One of their best defensemen in Tanev. Matthews is their superstar, their goalie Stolarz. This is a long list of players out. So I think if you jump early, get on the grind game, and really try to test their goaltender, who was also injured and just recently back, there's more zip to this team than we saw in the second half of the last game for the Blue Jackets. I think there's just going to be more purpose to start the game with direct plays, fast up the ice, but hard in the corners. I think that's where you see right away with this team in the first 5 minutes.
Pick to click. Let's get back on the winning side of things. Who do you got, buddy?
Let's take Lundestrom. I'm going off the board. He doesn't have a goal in the Blue Jacket yet. I'm going deep. Deep.
Cow.
Yeah, that's deep. Tonight's his night.
Let's go. All right, buddy. Good stuff, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for your time, pal.
All right. I think it's next week, right? Yeah. Have a good day. Thanks, Paul. See you, buddy.
All right, there he goes. A little bit of Shelly time for you on a Thursday. Jackets at Toronto. No Austin Matthews for the Leafs tonight. Just 9-9-2 rather, for the Leafs early on this season after kind of being one of those teams that people thought would break through last year. But in quite honestly, in Toronto, they probably thought that since 1964. Three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flight Auto Glass. Still buzzing about the 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown from Lorenzo Styles. Is that much more significant, as you said, after the game because there's so fewer chances?
Well, yeah, we haven't had many this year. And even the ones that were kicked off, a lot of them are touchbacks, which, by the way, this one could have been a touchback, too. Came about a yard or two out of the end zone. But he had conviction on it. And the execution on that was, after I got back on the film, was excellent. I mean, that was about as clean of execution as I've seen, and the effort was off the charts. You know, a lot of times, you know, you give Lorenzo the credit, but the blocking there was tremendous, and the scheme dialed up by Nate Ebner was really well done. So great to see a group that really hadn't had many opportunities take that opportunity and make it great. And I think I was told that the last time there was a kickoff return for a touchdown, Nate Ebner was actually on the field. Yeah. So how cool is that? I don't know if that's accurate. You have to check the notes on that, but that's what I was told.
Okay, we have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Flight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Flight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ryan, in asking you about the kick return for a touchdown, and you kind of alluded to it, but is it that big a deal because there's so many people, players and coaches, involved in special teams?
Yeah, it's a phase of special teams that, you know, really, because a lot of these kickers now can get the ball out of the back of the end zone, you don't see as many. And then with a fair catch and getting the ball at the 25, you really have to have conviction taking it out, because, you know, if you're starting every drive on the 25-yard line, statistically, year in and year out, you're actually doing pretty well. So you have to have a reason to want to take it out. And we felt like we saw something in this game, and we took advantage of it. But it's a lot of hard work, a lot of weeks. You know, you see all the work that goes in behind the scenes of putting a return together. You know, some years you say, man, we just maybe fair caught every ball. And it maybe would have saved a lot of effort. We could have focused on other things. But we felt like we had a chance, you know, with a few things this year. Didn't quite get him on the field, but it was great to see that pay off, and I think that's why you saw the reaction by the team.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegant and dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all or nothing. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anybody, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through December 1st, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models. With approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care, 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to the poll, we have a corrections from the corrections department, Bake.
Yeah, and I just wanted to go back and make sure that this was the case, because I thought I remembered it correctly. It was April 4th of 2023. Jet Greaves actually made his NHL debut with a start in Toronto. So, man, for a kid that grew up in that area, how big is that? Not only are you making your NHL debut, but it's against your home team, too? Wow.
Man. Yeah, that place is it's different. It's different on the hockey side of things. All right, it'd be like if Cooperstown was in New York City, and there was only the Yankees, no Mets, only the Yankees. That's what it would be.
It is literally easier for some Leafs fans to make the drive down here and get tickets to watch their team than it is to get tickets in Toronto.
Try getting a ticket to the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we have in the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll asks, have you started getting nervous about next week's Michigan game yet? Yes and no.
Choosing violence.
Yeah, 66% say yes, I've been nervous. 33% say no, focused on Rutgers.
As a kid that grew up in the 90s, you stay nervous.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a crazy week. And it's already here. I mean, we could feel it. I mean, all this week, it's looming over everything that we do, everything that happens around town. All right, time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, guys.
Three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
All right, number one for me. This is a pretty cool get out of Jake Diebler and the basketball team. They got a commitment from four-star combo guard LJ Smith today. Top 35 player nationally according to the 24/7 composite. And it does, I think, speak to a much bigger thing for the Buckeyes, who, by the way, play at home tonight. There is a real commitment financially from Ohio State to get really good players to come here and play. And so now you just the next thing is just win, but they are showing the commitment to men's basketball, and it's very cool to see.
First thing for me, Tom Brenneman hosts mornings on in Cincinnati, and he had Zach Taylor on his program earlier today, and I got this transcript of the conversation from Lance McAllister. He asks Zach, is there a chance meaning Joe Burrow, starts Sunday? Zach, quote, "While I'm not there yet, we will use the time we have and come up with the best decision," end quote. Then Tom asks, "Okay, come on, you can tell us, is he starting Sunday?" Zach, quote, "I wish I could. I wish I had a decision today. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take in all the information," end quote. It's going to be a lot to just trot Joe Flacco out there doing all this.
That'll be amazing if he comes back this week.
I mean, I'll rethink my pick.
If you're going to do it,
say that,
do it at home.
I'm going to rethink my pick.
Right?
If it's,
because if he's on track next week at Baltimore, yeah, it's like, well, but if he could do it at home.
Here's,
wow.
Knowing how the NFL works, this is what you need to pay attention to, Bengals fans, if you're trying to hold out hope that he actually plays in this game. And I'm sure that you guys are probably mixed on all of that, whether he plays or not. Pay attention to tomorrow's practice. So yesterday he did a lot of 11-on-11. That's a big step. Pay attention to tomorrow's practice and what he does in it. If he's full, and then it's very likely that it'll be him.
Earlier in the show, we gave you a bunch of awards and watch lists that Ohio State players are on. Caleb Downs was one of those. He's on the Bednarik Award, the Lott Impact Trophy Award, the Thorpe Award, the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award, and this morning he added another one to that list as he is a finalist for the Bronco Nagurski Award, given to the nation's best defensive player in college football. So Caleb Downs just racking up those awards lists. Also, some Buckeye football news. Justin Terry, one of the backup offensive linemen, a Pickerington kid from that went to West Virginia, then transferred back, lost his black stripe last night.
Nice. Number two for me. So we had our pre-show meeting with Fish, and we're very appreciative of all of those of you guys in the YouTube and all the folks who are watching. It's very cool that you are. And I was talking to the blonde about, you know, that a lot of people do, and they stay for a long time and watch a lot of the show. This is her exact quote. What are you doing besides talking? Thanks, honey. Thanks. What do I need to do? Do I got to dance? Like, am I?
Couldn't hurt Geppetto? The numbers.
Dance, monkey, dance.
I tell you what, don't put that out there, because top men will hear that and be like, yeah, do a jig.
I can't believe dance. People are watching you for 2 hours, Bo.
That's true. Right.
What do you tell saying?
Her it's a third talking? Hour of the show.
2 hours?
That's all she knows is 2 hours. She still thinks it's a two-hour show.
Second thing for me, so that cow that caused a standstill at 270
Marigold.
In Hilliard earlier this week, yeah, Marigold, has made her way down to West Virginia. So Marigold is safe on a farm without any injuries.
Gave her up just like that?
Well, so the idea from the owners was to pick Marigold up in Raymond and drive her to their farm in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. But somehow, right before they got to 270, Marigold just unhitched the trailer or unhitched the door to the trailer and just hopped out.
Good. So
could you imagine being the car behind them?
No. She was saying this was from the woman who owns Marigold. They were just 30 minutes into the drive Monday evening when Marigold somehow managed to open the trailer door and step on the interstate.
Oh, my goodness.
Quote, all of a sudden, we see her head complete shoulders, 70 miles an hour. She's on 270 south. By the time he gets to the door, she bolts.
Oh, they got it stopped before she jumped out.
Yes.
And then once they got to the door, she jumped out. Two things on this. Number one, this proves you guys were curious if a cow could have horns as opposed to just a bull. Yes, this is the proof of it. This is a breed. I think this is like one of those like British Isles breeds.
It's a Highland cow?
That's what I think. Okay. It's not one that I'm familiar with at all. I think it's like one of those. It's like England, Ireland, Scotland breeds. I'd not seen it. It ain't a Hereford, it ain't an Angus, it's not a Charolais, it's not a Simmental, it's not a Longhorn, it's not a Brahma. I could go on. Go ahead.
Regional finals tomorrow night in the Ohio High School Athletic Association playoffs. I will be in Marysville High School as the Region 20 champion is crowned. That will be the 8th seed North Union taking on the number 2 seed Indian Lake. Those two played earlier this year. Lake won a close one, 17-14.
All right, real quick for me, number three, my good buddy Chris Quinn sent me a play. Of course, he didn't have to because I was like watching it happen when the Miami Heat beat the Cleveland Cavaliers at the buzzer with 0.4 left. They did so on kind of a misdirection play that his son drew up with the Heat. Well, the good news is last night I just installed that that inbounds play with my sixth graders, and I look forward to seeing if it actually works at their level.
Final thing, we were talking about the Stiles brothers and them jogging out on the field Saturday for Lorenzo Sr.'s embrace. This from John via email. The Epitropoulos twins, John and Ernie in the 70s. John says that he believes one of the Epitropoulos twins is still a practicing dentist in Central Ohio.
Yes. Yeah.
Final thing for me, that music means the Ryan Day Show coming up next.
Yeah, that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow on a Football Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Starting on Monday, we get you ready for, you know, The Fan.
I'm Leslie.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.